الحمد لله على منة الولاية وكفى بها منا، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا النبي المؤيد والرسول المسدد والمصطفى الأمجد والمحمود الأحمد حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين سفن النجاة الأعلام، من ركب سفينتهم نجا ومن تخلف عنها هلك وغرق. ثم أما بعد، السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. Continuing from yesterday, as we stated in the prelude to the speech that I gave, I said that an individual human being has two worlds and has two lives in one existence. And we were speaking about that, that the two worlds or the two lives that a human being has or possesses include the outer life and the inner life, where the outer life represents the physical and the inner life represents the spiritual. The spiritual life is also divided into two parts. One part of that spiritual part of the human body or the human spirit invites man to the sublime heavenly spheres and summons him to the acts of virtue and goodness. So there's one side of your spirituality that actually advances you or prompts you or invites you and moves you towards the acts of virtues and goodness. And sometimes you feel that at particular times throughout the year or throughout the days, you feel the urge to do more in as far as your spirituality is concerned. And this is, in fact, due to many reasons. Some of these reasons is that perhaps is linked to the acts of worship you find yourselves in, whether the amount of concentration in offering a particular act of worship is in total harmony with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. And if it is, then you would find yourself in a sphere higher than the sphere of this world. And you indulge in such spirituality that it will make you feel as if you are hovering away from this world. Such as the example of Ahlul Bayt salamullahi alayhim, in which Al-Imam Zainul Abideen Ali ibn al-Husayn salawatullahi salamu alayhim was once involved in prayers. He was offering his prayers, and the house that was next to his house was engulfed in fire. So much so that the fire actually jumped towards his house as well, or part of his house. His family members, his children, went out of the house in an attempt to rescue themselves from the fire that is attacking their premises. Imam Zain al-Abideen salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi was indulged in his prayer. He did not move out of the house until he finished his prayers. When he finished, they told him, "Ya Imam, did you not hear the screams of children and women and the rushing of these people outside the premises in order to protect themselves from the fire?" He said, "Indeed, I did. But there was something that was preoccupying my mind." They said, "What it is?" He said, "The fire of the last day was taking me away from the fire of today." He was thinking elsewhere. And this is a ma'soom. Again, I reiterate and I emphasize on the fact that these were ma'sooms. This leaves us to think about our own situations and conditions, that if these masooms were paying so much attention to that fire and how to stay away from that fire, what would we say in regard to the state we find ourselves in? This is one part of your spirituality. The other part of our spirituality is the one that declines to a low level whereby your soul would invite you to satanic actions and deeds which attract man towards the baser realms of darkness and shame and invite you to acts of destruction. This is the opposite. The opposite. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. And the soul and what Allah has inspired to it. Either that soul would elevate itself through the leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or it will drop to the lower realms and the base desires of this life. And you would find that in the life of a human being, there is a continuous struggle and battle between these two sides, between the good and the evil. And lucky he is or she is, where the battle of good overcomes the evil. And that is the main purpose of a humanity as it lives in this world. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ. Allah says, I don't want them to feed me. I don't want them to sustain me. I am the sustainer. I am the provider. All I want from them is for them to indulge in the proper acts of worship as it has been prescribed to them through my book and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Ahlul Bayt salamullahi alayhim. You would find also that human existence forms that battle between good and evil. The battle between good and evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicated that in a number of situations, in a number of places in the Quran, when he spoke about this nafs, when he spoke about this struggle of this soul, when it comes to providing for itself, either good or bad. We are told, according to some scholars, that he who indulges away from his prayers, he who indulges away from his prayers in an attempt to gather wealth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect him in the company of Qarun. Wal'iyadu billah. He whom his wealth makes him preoccupied with it, away from his salat, because salat is what? What is the concept of salat? What is the meaning of salat? And why is salat prescribed to Muslims? Is it to make it difficult on us that we have 5 daily salawat? No. Salat, according to the description of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna salata hiya mi'rajul mu'min. Salat is the ascension of a mu'min. Ascension towards what? Ascension towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not any other thing. وَمَا أَمَرْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Your salat is the station in which a Muslim can elevate himself further towards the divine and towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is also said, whoever his ri'asa means what? Leadership. Takes him away or preoccupies him from salat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect him with none other than Fir'aun. Fir'aun. I am too much preoccupied in making a position for myself in life, even when it means that this position is at the cost of my own religion. And how many times have we seen people started their life on the course of faith, and due to the lures of that leadership, they went away and they left the right path in order to pursue their own ambitions in becoming a leader of that position or a leader of that country and so on and so forth. It is that struggle that continuously takes place in the life of a human being. Sallallahu alaihi Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. When therefore the forces or the divine forces of good overcomes the satanic forces of evil, what happens to you as a human being? your position is elevated. So much so that you will be in the company, as the Quran stated, أولئك الذين أنعم الله عليهم مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. You will be elevated to a position where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, you will be in the company of who? Of the rich and famous? No. You will be in the company of the prophets. Number one, al-anbiya and siddiqeen, the truthful. Who are as-siddiqeen? Imam Ali sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَنَا الصِّدِّيقُ الْأَكْبَرُ وَمَنِ ادَّعَاهَا بَعْدَهِ فَهُوَ كَذَّابُ. I am the major truthful, the main truthful, and whoever ascribes that title to himself is a liar. Subhanallah. So you will be in the company of al-Nabiyyin, the prophets, as-siddiqeen, the martyrs, as-shuhada, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, over every birr, there is a birr. Which means over every goodness, there is a goodness. Except when you are able to sustain and or maintain or be able to gain the goodness of shahada. There is no bigger goodness than to be martyred for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet continues by saying, وَفَوْكَ كُلِّ عُقُوقٍ عُقُوقٍ إِلَّا أَنْ يَقْتُلَ الْوَلَدُ أَحَدَ أَبَوَيْهِ وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. Over every corruption, there is corruption. Except when a son kills one of his parents. Are we talking about physical killing here only? Or could be also moral killing inculcated in that hadith? That hadith can be viewed from both perspectives. Either the physical killing of parents or the moral killing of parents. And how does the moral killing of parents takes place? It takes place in several shapes and forms. By being unkind to them. By giving preference to others over them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to emphasize the importance of parents in the life of people, someone came to him, he said, Ya Rasulullah, هَلْ هُنَاكَ بِرٌّ لِوَالِدَيَّ بَعْدَ أَنْ مَاتَى. Said, is there any kindness I can offer to my parents after they have passed away? He said, yes. He said, how? He said, be kind to those that your parents loved. So if your parents had a friend, for example, and they cherished his friendship, be kind to that friend of your parents. It is as if you are being kind to your own parents. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to show us his loyalty to his wife Khadija salawatullahi wa sallamu alayha, which is part of kindness also, when her sister used to come, or when the mention of Khadija or her friends used to come, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to offer them a treatment that was offered to no one except to his daughter, Sayyidah Zahra salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi. This is loyalty. Loyalty to our wives. Sometimes we don't appreciate our wives, or we misuse that relationship with our wives. They live with us for 30, 40 years. Throughout that course of life, sometimes we don't maintain them according to the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And bear in mind that the Prophet had problems also. His wives were not saints. I'm not talking about Sayyidah Khadija, salamullahi alayhi. Because he emphasized the fact that Khadija was different to anyone. When one of his wives said to him, why do you always remember that old woman? Listen to the wording. Why do you always remember that old woman? And Allah has replaced you with a younger, better looking wife. Referring to herself. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became very agitated. Very agitated. He said, by Allah, whom my soul is in his hand, he did not replace me anyone better than Khadija. Why, ya Rasulullah? He continues. He says, because from her I was given the first male child, and I never had any male children from others. Through her, She maintained me with her wealth. She offered all her wealth for the service of Islam. And that's why the Prophet commented by saying, لَوْلَا مَالُ خَدِيجَ وَسَيْفُ عَلَيْهِ لَمْ تَقُمْ لِلْإِسْلَامِ قَائِمًا. Had it not been for the wealth of Khadija and the sword of Ali, Islam would not have been established. Subhanallah. This is, the Prophet is recognizing the efforts of these loyal people to his Risala. And then he continued by saying, وَقَدْ آمَنَتْ بِي حِينَ كَفَرَ بِيَ النَّاسِ. And she believed in my message when people turned away from what I was calling them towards. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you will be in company of those people. You will be resurrected once the forces of the divine forces overcome the forces of evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you will be resurrected with the al-Nabiyyin, the prophets, al-Siddiqeen, al-Shuhada, al-Salihin, and the pious people. The pious people. And then this person, once he is in that level, then no harm can overcome him. However, if he deviates and he allows the forces of evil to overcome the forces of goodness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring him to the lowest of all levels. So much so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that in the Quran in description of those who denies the favors of Allah or the belief in Allah by saying, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ. And bariyya in Arabic is what? Everything that Allah creates. From animals to insects to heavens to humans to everything. It's called bariyya. كُلُّ مَا بَرَأَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ هَذِهِ الْأَرْضِ. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created is called bariyya. So Allah says, ulaika means they, the people who deny faith, the people who do not allow their soul to elevate over and above the base desires of this world, they will be resurrected as the worst of all God's creation. And what happens? وَيُحْشَرُ وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. And that person will be resurrected on the day of judgment. مَعَ الْكَافِرِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ. He will be resurrected with the infidels and the hypocrites. Why? Because he allowed himself to live in a position and in a station that is lower than that of animals. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. So much so that that person whom Allah favors for his taqwa and faith and gives him an elevation if he looks after his soul, to be more worthy in the eyes of Allah than the holy Kaaba itself, that person can also make himself lower in the eyes of Allah than an animal or a beast. Why? Abu Dharr al-Ghafari radiallahu ta'ala alayhi says what? Abu Dharr al-Ghafari once was riding on the back of his camel, and the camel jumped. It was an attack of frenzy. So when it jumped and he could not control the camel, he was seen speaking to that animal. He was talking. Some people said, have you gone mad? What's wrong with you? You are talking to an animal, to a camel that does not understand. He said, I have heard my beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam saying that when you are unable to control your camel is actually, or your dabba, the wording, your animal at that position is actually invoking Allah with two things. That animal is speaking, communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's saying two things. One thing is, oh Allah, make me the best of his wealth. Oh Allah, make him gain shahada while riding over me for the sake of Allah. So I'm communicating to that animal at that position so Allah will accept its prayer, that it will be the best to me in terms of my means of living, because that's what we need in life, and in terms of my hereafter, that I gain shahada on its back. And then he continued to say, and do you know something? There are some animals who are better than some human beings. Why, Ya Abadar? Why? He said, because an animal is always and continuously remembering Allah. They have a form of remembrance. They do have a form of remembrance, these animals. Even plants have a form of remembrance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised these issues in the Quran. And you will find it is so recommended that when you go to the cemetery, what do you put for your parents or for your loved ones? You put palm trees, right? Greenery. Why do you put greenery on the graves of our parents? There are some riwayats that indicate that for each plant, a particular way of remembrance to Allah, a particular form. Like one plant say Subhanallah, one plant say Tawakkaltu ala Allah, one plant say Alhamdulillah. The palm tree in particular has one form of remembrance, and that is Astaghfirullah. فَهِيَ تَسْتَغْفِرُ لِمُحِبِّيكَ. So that plant, when you put it there, it is actually engaged in form of istighfar for those dead ones who are underground. So this is a continuous charity on your part towards your parents. For that reason, Abu Dharr said, there are certain creations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. In the eyes of Allah, they can amount to a station or a position better than a human being. When that human being allows himself to drop to a degree lower than this creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. هذا وبالله التوفيق وأقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم والسلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته.